Good morning. You do not know. We're going to take time, just turn around, shake hands with them, say thank you for coming today. And if you know everybody around you, just tell them anyway. Okay? We're so glad you came to worship with us today. I'm going to go ahead and in the very beginning and introduce our speaker today. Most of you probably already know him. Jacob Payne has been here many times before, and I'm going to abbreviate his introduction because last time I got about half of it wrong, so I've got a lot of it marked out. But if you don't know our speaker today, his name's Jacob Payne. He grew up in Stokesdale, went to Christian school. He and his wife have four children, and they finally had one born who's going to control the house. It's a little girl. Jacob, only responsibility is keeping her from being married till she's about 55. So he's in good shape. They're members of First Baptist Church, Summerfield. Jacob's in the ministry, and we are always happy to have him here. After the music service, he is going to come and share the message with us. Our pastor's gone today. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house today. Lord, it's such a blessing just to be here and to worship you. We pray, Father, that you'll be in control of everything that takes place here today, that you'll bless Jacob as he preaches, bless Brad and Don and Vicky and the choir as they do the music, bless those who are in control of the sound and the video that goes out to the community. Lord, just have your will and your way in every heart and life here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with me as we sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 202.
Thank you.
sing, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. 52.
Good morning. Good morning. Sit this right here. It is a blessing and an honor to be back again this morning. Are y'all awake? I said it's a blessing and an honor to be back this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to invite you this morning to go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. So glad of y'all to join us this morning. Walking in. Now, I know y'all just came down from the choir. Just picking on you. I'll let y'all get a seat. Make sure, yep, microphone's back there. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 13. And it reads, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We just ask that you open hearts this morning, Lord, and minds. And Lord, just fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us just to receive your word this morning and apply it. In your most precious and holy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. So verse 13 is how we started this morning. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's going on here? Paul is talking about, he's pretty much quoting Joel chapter 2, verse 32. He's just saying, he's affirming that salvation is not restricted to the Jew or the Gentile. Rich or poor, slave or free. The word whoever in verse 13 is describing everyone. No sin too great. No one's past is too dark. No one's life is too broken. Did you hear that this morning? No sin is too great. No one's past is too dark. No one's life is too broken. I've got a heavy heart this morning. So many Christians, even non-Christians in today's world, seem to instantly judge a person for evil sin that they just committed. Almost to the point as if certain sinful people aren't even worthy of salvation. We just automatically condemn them to hell. You may be sitting there saying today, no, preacher, not me. I love everybody. I would never want to condemn somebody to hell for all eternity. Really? You're already well aware of what's been going on in society today. But let me just remind us of a couple of horrifying and shocking news articles in PG version. Arina Zaruska was a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee who had fled her country because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. She was currently residing in Charlotte, North Carolina, where she worked at Pizzeria. On August 22nd, 2025, Arina Zaruska boarded the train and sat down while still in her pizza work clothes, unknowing the imminent threat and danger that was sitting and lurking right behind her. Without warning, DeCarlos Brown Jr. stood up from behind her and brutally attacked and ended her life in cold-blooded murder. September 10th, 2025, Charlie Kirk, who was a bold witness for Jesus Christ, was assassinated while addressing an audience on the campus of Utah Valley University. The next day, the gunman, 22-year-old Tyler James Robinson, surrendered at the office of the local sheriff department. There have been so many more mass shootings and amounts of and examples of evil murders and attacks. Too many to talk about this morning. I'd be here all day if I started listing all the massive murders that have been going on lately. But we'll just focus on DeCarlos Brown Jr. and Tyler James Robinson. After these two brutal attacks and many other recent murders and attacks, I cannot tell you how many professing Christians I have heard since blatantly voice their opinion and yelling extreme hatred, even saying things like, there's going to be a hot place in hell waiting for them. with such hatred. I've even heard Christians here lately saying, I hope they burn in hell. Professing Christians. We allow our fleshly emotion to cause us to have such incredible hatred towards people that we say that certain sins, we deem them as completely unforgivable. And some Christians say that they're due the death penalty of hell forever, for all eternity. Now don't get me wrong, I'm deeply disgusted. I'm appalled, shocked by the amount of evil that's been going on in the world today. The assassinations, the murders, sickens me. But we have to remember, most people are lost. We forget most people are lost. Many, I was telling somebody this morning, are battling demons. Have we forgotten about demons? They're real. Most are looking for truth and identity. Why do you think we have such an identity crisis in the world today? And they're looking for truth. They are. Many of us forget simply Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Let me remind you, we are all guilty sinners. We're all guilty. We're all deserving of the death penalty. We were all once just as lost, blind, wicked, dead, and an enemy of God. Just like DeCarlos Brown Jr. and Tyler Robinson. We were just as guilty as them before we surrendered our life to Jesus and put our full faith and trust in Him and repented and turned from sin, and He made us a new creature with a radical life change. We were just as guilty. So remember, no sin is too great. No one's past is too dark. No one's life is ever too broken. Aren't you thankful for grace this morning?
Amen.
Let me ask you today. I know this is coming across hard. Just bear with me this morning. When was the last time that you prayed for the salvation for these murderers, DeCarlos Brown Jr. and Tyler? When was the last time you prayed for them, for their salvation, for them to come to know Christ, while we're talking about our hatred for them and how we wish they would just burn in hell? When was the last time you prayed for the salvation for anybody? All the murderers that have been committing mass crime in the last recent months. When was the last time you prayed for their salvation? Where's your heart this morning? Are we truly filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we have His power source, the fruits of the Spirit. What's the first one? Love. Do we love evil? No, of course not. Are we supposed to love our neighbor? Yeah. Earthly consequences and eternal salvation. Yeah, DeCarlos Jr., Tyler, they're going to have to face an earthly consequence. Most likely, they're going to get the death penalty. That's justice. But they don't have to experience a second death. We should be praying that while they're in the jail cell, before they meet their earthly consequence, that they just repent, put their full faith and trust in Jesus, and become born again. What was Paul's name before he became Paul? Can anybody number how many Christians he was responsible for killing? Yet we clearly see how Jesus radically changed his life. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To truly call, not a fake call, not a fake profession or a hypocrite, but to genuinely call on the name of the Lord Jesus and believe, confess with our mouth that He is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. Repent, turn from sin. That's truly calling on Jesus. And the fruit that you're going to see is being filled with the Holy Spirit, witnessing, worshiping, growing closer to Jesus every single day, reading the Bible, praying, serving, and glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now here we are in verse 14. We're going to talk about the necessity of proclamation. The necessity of proclamation. Verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So how can they truly call if they've never believed? How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear if there's no one to tell them? The word preacher, right there, derived from the Greek word keruso. Say that five times real fast. Keruso. Not to be mistaken with the Greek word for pastor, which is poimen. It's different. The word keruso, preacher, means a herald or a messenger who publicly proclaims the good news, especially divine truth and the gospel. Preacher, a messenger, a herald. You're proclaiming something. Good news. So don't mix it with pastor. So that you can truly understand the context of what the Scripture is telling us here. As a true born-again Christian, we are commanded as messengers, heralds, to go all throughout being obedient witnesses, proclaiming with our mouths and words the good news of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is considered the dunamis, the dynamite. You've heard me say that before, dunamis, the dynamite, the power. It is the power. The power is in the gospel. Making sure that we audibly proclaim with our mouths that Jesus died on a cross. He rose from the grave in 3 days. Believe and repent. Put your faith and trust in Him. Amen? Amen. Many Christians today try to sugarcoat the gospel. Many do try to sugarcoat the gospel and share it in a way that they feel is necessary, how they want to share it. Not necessarily what the Scripture says or what the Bible's telling us here, but they share it in how they want to share it. What makes them feel comfortable. Sorry, but the gospel ain't really designed to be comfortable. It's going to be offensive. Now, granted, there are ways we can make it less offensive in the way that we share it, as long as it's within Scripture, not sugarcoating it to our own desire. Many Christians, don't get offended. Many Christians try to put what I call the Disney Channel Cinderella effect on it. Now, you don't have to be a jerk, but you don't want to make it about Cinderella either, right? I've heard so many Christians use, this one irks me. So many Christians use this awful, lazy excuse which says, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. Blech. Here's what's sad. Many Christians will use their voice and their words to proclaim that awful quote. But the same Christians won't use their voice to proclaim the gospel. Paul would have absolutely had a fit if he had heard that quote come from a believer's mouth. He'd have had a fit. I wish he'd be here today. I'd love to see what he'd do. Yes, we are always supposed to be living a lifestyle with fruit. Yes. That's a given. Letting our light shine. But when it comes to proclaiming the gospel, we are always supposed to be using words because that is how they hear the power of the gospel. By hearing. I just read the scripture. They have to hear. Lifestyle evangelism is a lazy excuse that we have made up in our own heads due to our own lazy, disobedient flesh. We're commanded as messengers that our mouth should be open and that words are said, that the gospel is to be proclaimed to everyone everywhere. No one can actually hear what you're trying to say unless you actually use words and audibly speak to them. Matthew 9, verse 35 starts, Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and then Jesus says, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. John 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. We're all commanded to proclaim the gospel with our voice and to be witnesses for Jesus. Don't worry about rejection. Not everyone is going to believe. The Bible actually says most won't. We're commanded to plant verbal seeds of the gospel and let God bring the harvest. Sometimes when you verbally share the gospel, they may physically hear you, but they're not spiritually hearing you. So they can be drawn by the Holy Spirit. But in order to be drawn, they have to physically hear. You have to physically share the gospel with them. He'll do the rest. He's just saying, plant seeds. Go share it with them. Share the good news. Now for this next part, I need two volunteers. I got all day. Two volunteers. Raise your hand. All right, come on up. I need one more. Come on, men. All right, ladies, come on up. Come on, up on stage. Come on. Oh. Brad, can you carry her? Piggyback. I tell you what. All right, one of you stand there. How about you, since your leg's asleep? You come over here with me. You stand right here. All right. Now, let me ask y'all a question. Tell me your name again.
Lachelle,
what's your name?
Bonnie.
All right. Do y'all like bad news?
No.
Do you like bad news?
No.
You like good news?
Yes.
What about you? Do you like good news?
Yes.
Now, have you heard some really good news here lately? In the chaos of this world, have you had some good news that somebody has told you?
Yeah.
Not just talking about the gospel, but good news. You're still... I'm going to have to pray for you. Now, here's what I want to do. Even lost people, you hear me? Even lost people love to hear good news. You agree?
I agree.
Now, here's the thing. I've got some really, really good news I'd like to share with you two ladies up here. Got some really good news. But here's the thing. I kind of want to try the lifestyle evangelism approach with sharing it to you. So here's what I want to do. I've got some really good news I want to share. I'm going to try to share it with you by holding my lips shut. I'm just going to let my lifestyle tell you what the good news is. All right, so you ready? Here, I'll start with you. Ain't that great?
Yeah. That's really something.
All right. Don't go nowhere. Let's do it the way Scripture tells us. Using what? Words. Out of our mouth. Would you like to hear some good news? All right, here's the good news I'm going to share with both of you right now. Because of your bold participation, I've got some good news. I've got some wonderful gift cards here for both of you. Give them a hand for their participation this morning. Y'all can be seated. You're good. If I hadn't have used my words, would they have heard it? Or if I would have just shook their hand and been kind to them, just lived a lifestyle, right? I'm good. They wouldn't have heard the good news that I just shared with them, that they got gift cards. Use your voice. Use your words. Otherwise, they will not hear. And now next time I come, if I ask for volunteers, I bet every hand will be up now. Oh, gift cards. We should be praying every single morning for the Lord to put opportunities with lost people in our path every single day. We should also be praying for boldness to go make opportunities. If you pray for opportunities, He'll give them to you. You should also be praying for boldness. That's what Paul did. He asked his friends to pray for boldness for him, to go share the gospel. Pray for boldness to go make opportunities. Don't just sit there and wait. Go make an opportunity. They're underneath your nose every single day. I could hit a rabbit trail there, but I'm going to try not to. Most Christians, 98%, you've heard me say that number before, 98% to be exact, do not share the gospel regularly. They're not sharing the gospel with people that they meet on a regular basis. 98%. Here's two questions for you today. Are you taking advantage of good opportunities to share the gospel with lost people obediently every single day? Second question, are you taking advantage of bad opportunities to share the gospel with lost people every day? It's interesting. You say, what do you mean, Jacob? I thought you said good opportunities. Yeah. What about the bad ones? Do you take advantage of the bad opportunities to share the gospel? You say, I'm lost. I don't understand what you're saying. I don't know what you mean. I brought some illustrations. I need my volunteers to come back. I'm kidding. No. Recently, if you're signed up for our Every Giver a Witness newsletter, you probably would have saw the one story that I talked about with the credit card. I'll share it with you. So I noticed my credit card, my name was spelled correctly. But when I got my credit card statement, they misspelled my last name and put it P-A-I-N. I'm not that kind of a pain. So, who loves to call credit card companies and have to get stuff changed? Raise your hand. I don't see a single hand. Because nobody wants to call customer service and speak to a robot for 30 minutes and then speak three or four different languages. And eventually you get somebody and you can't understand them. Then you have to go through the time it takes to have to get everything changed just for a couple of letters. It's so aggravating. And then when you get aggravated, what happens? Your blood pressure goes up a little bit. You start getting a little ill. You're snippy. Blah, 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 blah. If you're like me, you're trying so hard to keep your testimony and not lose your not lose your patience with them on the phone. This is a bad opportunity. Bad opportunity. But she was so kind, so sweet on the phone. And what do they always say at the end? She said, "Jacob, I got you all fixed. Your name is fixed in the system. Is there anything else I can do for you today?" It hit me. Bad opportunity. I need to swallow my frustration and be a bold witness for Jesus. I said, as a matter of fact, you know, you probably noticed that credit card was for our ministry. And I'd be an awful hypocrite for you just to see that I'm in ministry and for me not to simply ask you if there's anything I can pray about for you today. So, ma'am, is there anything I can pray about for you today? Anything at all? Children, work, anything? She said, absolutely. Please pray for my 5 children. I said, absolutely, I will pray for them. And then I said, do you mind if I share my story with you real quick? She said, not at all. I'd love to hear it. I shared my story with her on the phone before I met Jesus, how I came to know Jesus since I met Jesus. Shared my story with her. The gospel is in the middle of my story of how I came to know Christ. How? The gospel's in it. So here I am telling her who I was before, how since. She got to hear the gospel through the vehicle of my story. At the end of me sharing my story, she was bawling and crying her eyes out on the phone. I had to give her a couple minutes. She lost it. Then I about lost it. We're both sitting there about to boo-hoo. Well, she's boo-hooing, I'm about to, on the phone. And she said, "Jacob," she said, "the misspelling of your name on that credit card statement, God did it. Because He wanted you to call me today. And I'm so thankful He did, because I needed to hear what you said today. I needed to hear the gospel today. Thank you so much for sharing that with me and your story." And that was it. We hung up. That was a bad opportunity. I was frustrated. Nobody in their right mind is thinking about witnessing when you're sitting there frustrated about a credit card. That's taking advantage of a bad opportunity. We got a minute. I'll give you a couple more. The next one I had was, yes, and this was my fault. I got in a little bit of a bump up, a wreck. I was backing out of a customer's driveway in my bivocational job, which my last day will be Wednesday, by the way. Amen. And backing out of the driveway, there was a blind spot. I'm kind of on a hill. Car's parked right there directly behind the driveway. I couldn't see it. And I got an old truck. So I ain't got no fancy backup camera. It goes beep, 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 beep. All of a sudden I felt a thump. I said, oh man. I get out. Instantly, here's the thing though. Right before that happened, I had shared the gospel with the customer where I was at. So immediately when I stepped out and I started to get a little frustrated, I immediately was reminded, That old devil's trying to rob me of my joy right now. It's all right. This is a bad, bad opportunity. I had to wait because the people were not home across the street. So I waited there. Instead of putting a note out, I just waited. I had a few minutes. And eventually, within 5 minutes, they pulled in across the street, the owner of the vehicle that I bumped. He gets out. He starts cussing like a sailor. Not so much at me, but because his mom had told him the day before to move the stinking car because the other side got bumped the day prior by that customer. And she said, "I told you to move that car. It's in a blind spot." Now I bumped it. Oh, he's mad. He's livid. He's cussing. He's all. And I thought, God did this for a reason. I'm going to be patient and ready to respond as soon as an opportunity presents itself. We're sitting there talking. I said, "Hey, let me get you my insurance information and everything you need." Sorry, it was a complete accident, obviously. That's just not a hobby of mine that I try to do. And he's standing there at my truck, and he said, "How long you been waiting here?" He said, "I can't believe you waited. Most people would have just took off." There it is. I said, "You know why I waited?" I said, "The old me probably would have took off." I said, "But Jesus changed my life." I went right into my story before house sent, shared my story with him. What did he hear in the middle of my story? The gospel. At the end of our conversation, once again, guess what he said? He said, "God allowed this bump up today so that I could meet you." He said, "I needed to hear this today." It's funny how lost people will say this. Because they're looking for truth. They're looking for identity. There's just not many bold witnesses out there and laborers to share the gospel with them. This one was sad. This one broke my heart. But it was interesting. Here's another one. I won't say where, who, why, when, all the prepositions. I was trying to think how to say this without incriminating anyone. I was in a Christian school parking lot pickup line picking up my kids from school. I got there early. Sometimes when I get there early, I work on some stuff until they let the kids out. Well, all of a sudden, I realized in my pocket, I was like, "Oh, man." Because I was like third person in line. That's great when you're picking up kids. I was like, "Where's my wallet? Oh, man. I left it at the office." I pulled out of line. I went back to the office to get my wallet, and I was frustrated. As I was leaving the office, there was a couple of Hispanic guys sitting there working on our office. Didn't speak a lick of English. Guess what I keep in my truck? Spanish Steps to Peace with God tracks. I said, "Hey, I'd like to share these with y'all today." I don't know what they said, but I think it was good. They smiled. That was as bold as I could be in the moment, using what words I could. But I used the words on the track because they were in Spanish. They could understand it. They could receive it. They could hear the words of the track when they're reading it. Then I get back to the school. What's funny is they didn't pull up. They left my gap in the front of the line. So, no, I didn't go hop in back in line. So I just went to the back. I thought, "No, I missed my spot. That's my fault." I got in the back. So there had probably already been, I don't know, 15 more cars. Well, then all of a sudden, one of the parents pulls in. And he I guess immediately saw that gap up there toward the front. And I guess maybe he's OCD or just has a pet peeve about that line being tight. So he took it upon himself to whip his vehicle down there. Hey, lady, scoot up! And as he started to pull back around, there was another guy with his windows down in line. And I guess he maybe thought that that guy was trying to cut in line. So then he said, hey, buddy, the end of the line's back there where that red truck is, where my red truck was. So he immediately, when that guy said that comment to him, he lost it. He started cussing across that parking lot, cussing like crazy. He was mad. He was fuming. You could see the smoke rolling out of his ears. He was so. You ever seen a man that? My wife will tell you, I've been that way before. He pulls in. Guess where he parks? Right behind me. The whole time I'm thinking, God, you put my wallet at the office, I'd have to go back and get it. For this divine reason, I know you did. I'm still going to give him 5 minutes to cool off. I'm a big guy. I don't feel like having to slap somebody today. So immediately I start praying and say, God, just if you want me to share the gospel with him, just help orchestrate all this to work. This is a very bad opportunity. He's hot. He's cussing in a Christian school parking lot. I immediately, in my truck, I grab a Steps to Peace with God track. And I thought, all right, let's see. All right, let's just get ready. I stick it in my wallet like this, and I just put it back in my pocket. And I thought, after I give him 5 minutes, you know, to cool off, I open my truck door, I get out, and I just start walking up to his vehicle. Now, at this point, I had to think about the psychology of it. Big old 6'5 guy walking up to your car after you just cussed somebody out in the school line, he's probably like, uh-oh. I walk up to his window. Guess what I said? Hey. Hello. I said, hey, my name is Jacob. He said, my name is so-and-so. What's his name? And I said, brother, I said, I was sitting there in line, and I said, I've got to tell you, I've got to confess something to you. I said, I know you got a little upset a minute ago. And my windows were down too. And I said, but I got to confess, you know, that gap that you were talking about that you wanted tightened up, I'm the reason. I said, I had to go back to the office and get my wallet that I left. And they just didn't fill the gap in. So I said, if anybody's at fault, you can blame me. It was my fault. I said, but here's the cool thing. I said, at the office, I got to share the Spanish tracks with two Hispanic guys at our office. And then I said, and then I get back here, and God puts you right behind me. And I thought, this is divine. And I said, can I share my story with you? Guess what he said? Yes! He said yes. So I shared my story with him. What did he hear in my story? The gospel. I kid you not, at the end of the conversation, he said, thank you. He said, I needed to hear that today. Thank you for taking time to just share with me your story and how Jesus changed your life. Thank you. I gave him the Steps to Peace with God track, too, that I had in my wallet, just so he could further read and investigate and be drawn. But I wanted to make sure that I verbally proclaimed using words. I've had a lot of crazy experiences this week because I pray for these opportunities, good and bad. I wouldn't dare put her picture on the screen, but just yesterday, Friday, I was in Greensboro and I was walking up to a place of business where I was supposed to do an inspection. And I walk up, I get there, there's a lady sitting over here at another place of business right beside it in the front. And the door's locked where I got to get in. And so I call the customer up, put him on speakerphone. He says, "Oh, I forgot." He says, "I'll be there in like 10, 15 minutes. Well, the lady that was sitting there, she heard the conversation too. I said, "Okay, no worries." In my mind, I knew what that meant. God said, "Hey, I'm going to give you 10, 15 minutes to do some work." And sure enough, I looked over and I said, "Well, looks like you're stuck with me for about 10, 15 minutes." She started laughing. Wouldn't dare put her picture up on screen. Let me just describe her picture a little bit to you. She was in a bright red shirt. She had on some black suspenders. She was dressed very eccentric, just very different. Bright red boots, like UGG boots type things on, red shirt. Her shirt said El Diablo. If you know what Diablo means, it's devil, demon. She had on a hat that almost reminded me of like a witch's hat, like you would stereotypically see a witch wear, like in whatever, Halloween or whatever. Her eyes were red. She had contacts in, special contacts, which made her eyes very, very red. I immediately thought about the Samaritan woman at the well. And she went to the well, right? So why was she going to the well? To get some water. So what was on her mind? Water. So what did Jesus start talking about? Water! She's in all red. She's got red eyes. Guess what my favorite color is? Red. Guess what I start talking about? Red. I said, "My favorite color happens to be red." I said, I don't wear red contacts, but I like red. I got a red truck. And we started talking, having a conversation. Because it's about a conversation, not a presentation. Be real with people. Love them. Most Christians would have saw her and would have instantly thought, "Wow. Demonic. I'm out. She's too far gone." We had a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Guess what I said? "Hey, can I share my story with you today?" Guess what she said? "Yes. Yes." Once again, she heard the gospel through the vehicle of my story. Started with love and kindness. We ended the conversation of her hearing the gospel. She was so thankful that I took the time to share the gospel with her. She gave me a hug and we took a picture together. It's phenomenal. The seed was planted. I put a little triple 10 fertilizer on it too. Somebody else will probably go and water that seed. Eventually, he'll bring the harvest in his timing. We're just called to plant seeds. We're called to plant seeds, but it starts with being obedient and loving. Obedient to Scripture. We see in verse 15 the response of faith. "How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Beautiful feet. If I told every one of you to take your shoes off right now and look at your neighbor's feet, would you say they're beautiful? Smelly? My kids pick on me all the time about my feet. They say I got ugly feet. I don't know. You want to say? I'm kidding. But even if we got smelly, ugly feet, they're beautiful. If you're out there preaching the good news, you got beautiful feet. So I tell my kids, I got pretty feet. The gospel is heard. The Spirit opens ears and hearts to receive the word. Romans 10 reminds us of the simplicity and the power of the gospel. It's simple. Why do we complicate it? Just share it. Jesus also says if you're true disciples that you'll follow him. He'll make you fishers of men. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Jesus? Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1:17, Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How many saltwater or freshwater fishermen I got in the room? I love fishing. Fishermen? Raise your hand. Yeah, fisherwomen. I love to fish. Now when you go fish, men, ladies, do you always catch? No. But you do it anyways because we're crazy. Well, get this. The word fisher there in Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1:17, the Greek word is halios. Fisher, fisherman, halios. Guess what Luke 5:10 says? Luke 5:10 says, and Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. No, it's not the same Greek word. It's a different one. Catch, catcher, zogreo. So you got halios, zogreo. Two different words. So Jesus is saying, hey, you're going to go fish, bud. You're going to go fish. But guess what? You're going to catch too. You're going to catch. In closing, beautiful feet are not about appearance, but about purpose. The messenger of the gospel, whether in a pulpit, across the kitchen table, in a workplace conversation, carries the most beautiful message in the world. You don't have to be a pastor to have beautiful feet. Every believer is a messenger. Every believer is a witness. Who in your life still needs to hear? God has placed you right where you are for a reason. Make a commitment today. I'm asking you, pray and make a commitment. When Brother David comes in a little bit and leads through an invitation, pray. Make a commitment today to God. God, I want to be an obedient witness. You need to pray that God will give you opportunities to boldly share the gospel. Using your voice, words, with all those around you that need to hear the good news. Pray for boldness to go make opportunities. Because someone once had beautiful feet and shared the gospel with you. Remember that. Somebody had beautiful feet and shared the gospel with you. And you heard it. And you responded. Now God calls you to be that messenger for everyone else. Would you make that commitment today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We just ask that, Lord, just help us all to apply the words of Scripture today. Help us all to make a commitment today to not just be a witness, but to be an obedient witness. Because we know we're commanded by your word. Help us to be an obedient witness for you. There's lost people everywhere, right under our noses. We don't have to do a once-a-year mission trip, Lord. We know we don't have to do an evangelism extravagant team meetup. Those are good to do. But we forget we're to evangelize every single day with those right under our nose. That's how you want it to be done, us proclaiming with our mouth the gospel, Lord. Just help us to make that commitment to be obedient to you, Lord, in sharing the gospel. Just like some of the greats have done. Sharing the gospel. Being obedient, Lord. Lord, if there be anybody in this room today that doesn't truly know you as their personal Lord and Savior, maybe that's why they don't share the gospel. They don't have that relationship with you yet. They're being drawn. Lord, I pray that you would just convict their heart right now, not to walk out of this room until they settle that today. You just cry out to God right now. You just do it right there where you're sitting. You just say, God, I surrender. I'm done. I'm ready to give my life to you. I'm going to put my faith and trust in you and believe. I'm going to call on you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from sin. Live a life devoted to you in full surrender. And if that's you and you just made that decision right now, when Brother David comes in a little bit and brings the invitation, we would love for you to come down. Come let me know. Come let Brother David know that you made that decision. We want to celebrate. We want to celebrate with you this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything you do. Help us just to keep reaching lost people to you. In your most precious and holy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Come here today to worship God and hope, but also what Jacob has been talking about is he has come here today to share with you an opportunity. That opportunity is to make a decision about who you're going to be. In here maybe, and certainly when you leave, about how you're going to share your story. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, that's the first step. You've got to come and trust Christ as your Savior. If you've been saved, you probably made an attempt at one time or another to share your story, and maybe it was easy and maybe it was difficult. But it wasn't easy for Jesus to walk Calvary Road, carry that cross. Sing, only trust Him. Trust is not just about being saved. It's about trusting God for every aspect of your life, and that includes sharing your story. Would you stand as we sing? You have a decision to make. If you come down here, I'll be glad to talk with you. You want to come and pray, just kneel and pray. God, do whatever God calls you.
Trust Him.
Father, we thank you for the message we've heard, for the reminder that every day you allow us to live, you give us an opportunity to share our story.
Yes.
Father, help us to put it in practice. Lord, there's a lost world around us that needs to hear about Jesus. And even beyond that, we need to share our story. Lord, as we take this offering today, we pray that you'll bless each gift and you'll bless each giver. And Father, that you will use this gift that others might come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We ask it in his name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you for coming and sharing with us your story. The illustrations that Jacob used, you may not have any exactly like that, but you've got some similar that are available to you every day. All right. We've got some folks having birthdays, and we got some folks have an anniversary. So let me share them with you. October the 7th, Travis Anderson's birthday. October the 8th, Stephanie Gwynn. October the 10th, Betty Cazito. And then Jonathan Fondo and Debbie Fondo have an anniversary. Let me see if I didn't write the date down. It's soon. Saturday, this coming Saturday. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. That was handwritten and I can't read my own writing. Scheduled for this afternoon at church, Noah Awana this afternoon. Bible study's been canceled this afternoon, but we're still having choir, right? And Jim, what about band? Band is meeting at 7 o'clock still, same time. Okay. There's also one other cancellation. The ladies' connection meeting for October has been canceled. And so you ladies pay attention to that. Remind the guys here at the church, fellowship breakfast at Colfax at the Olympic Restaurant every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you come and eat with us. We don't preach. We tell fishing stories sometimes. Yeah, but we'd love to have you guys come and eat with us. It's a great time of fellowship. We have had two folks that have lost loved ones this week, and we've had several other people that have discovered crisis in their life, physical crisis, medical crisis. As we get more information, we'll put some of that out for you to know exactly who to pray for, but God knows who they are. Would you please pray for them? Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go home today. Well, wait a minute, let me say, Jacob, I just love for you being here, and I didn't introduce your family. It's good to have your wife and children with us, and one's back there raising her hand, praising the Lord right now. That's the new leader of the Payne family. And I have my sister here with me. She doesn't get to come visit us very often. We've had some time to spend together this week. And many of you guys in here are in the fire department or have been or retired. And we had the privilege of going to the annual memorial service yesterday with Greensboro Fire Department and just honoring the guys who had passed away this year, some of them in the line of duty and some just from different things, but had a wonderful opportunity to worship and remember these guys and pray for our firemen. These guys are on the line just like the EMS and the police officers. They're responders and they need our prayer support. Let me pray for you before we go. Our Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house today. We thank you for the reminder that we need to share our story. Lord, we know there's hardly any joy any greater than introducing someone to our Savior. Yes. And Lord, we just pray that this week you will help a lot of us to experience that joy once again. Bless us as we go from this place, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.